Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. So we will, give me 20 minutes tonight, and I'll get you back there to the root beer floats. Amen? All right, we'll see if we can do that or not. So looking forward to all that God has for us this evening in His Word. And you know, we as a church, and here I am rabbit trailing before I ever get into my notes. We as a church, we put a lot of emphasis on the body of Christ for a reason. Because the church matters. The church matters. You can't read the New Testament and come away without the reality that the church matters. That Christ prepared for it with His life. That Christ purchased it with His teaching. That Christ has grown it and promulgated it with His Spirit. That He instructs it and He perfects it through His Spirit and through the Gospels. The church matters. And when you look at how the church is referred to in Scripture, you know, the church is called the body of Christ. In other words, when the world looks on the church, they ought to see the light and love of Jesus because we are His body. It matters. The Bible calls the church the pillar and ground of truth. In other words, we are left in a very real sense to keep this thing upright. We are the pillar and ground of truth. So yes, we place a strong emphasis on the church, and yes, we place a strong emphasis on the body of Christ and the responsibility that we have biblically one to another. Brother Frank Wiesner, he teaches our new members class for us. It's a wonderful job. And I praise the Lord for everybody, all the families that God has brought here. But I tell Brother Frank, if you can talk them out of it, talk them out of it. Because they got to know church is a big deal. We don't treat the church or church membership or the responsibility and care that we ought to have one for another in this lost world. We don't treat it like it's some used car we're just trying to pawn off on people to get us ahead today. No, we make a commitment as we are called out by the Lord Jesus Christ and placed into His body. We make a commitment to live this life for the glory of God. So I want to encourage you as you go back tonight to go with an open heart, to go with an open mind, to take advantage of new opportunities. We've got small group classes for moms that we're starting. And so moms, go back, take advantage of those opportunities. Marriage and family class for young couples and couples and marriage and our couples, go back, take advantage of that. We've got an RU class that we're going to be starting on Sunday morning. We've got other Sunday morning Bible study classes coming back. We've got other classes going on throughout the week. And church, all sorts of opportunities. And what I want us to do, how I want us to view this is the foundation that we build on. You know, some of us may go back and you may think, well, okay, well, the marriage and family class is doing a study on parenting. Well, all my kids are grown. So where's the class for we middle of the road, middle aged couples? Where's that class? Well, maybe the Lord's given you a burden. See, this is a foundation. You think, well, why is it only a class for young moms? Why can't it be a class for we seasoned women, for grandmothers? Well, hey, maybe the Lord's given you a burden. You see, this is a foundation that we're going to grow on. And my heart is maybe we even do this again in January. And we have new classes and new ministries that we have added to it for the year 2022. Church, this is just the start. This is what have we said? This is just the next step. And so this is that ground floor that we are going to build on, because church, this matters. Connecting and contributing to the body of Christ are so very important for our maturity and the long-term spiritual well-being of both ourselves and our church. You know, the reality is if we're a part of a church and we get poured into, but we have no outlet by which we connect and contribute, you know what happens to our spiritual lives? You think about a body of water that just intakes and intakes and intakes and has no outlet. What happens to that body of water? Stagnant. Scummy. We don't want you to be a scummy Christian. And so we have to have both intake and an outlet. Yes, to connect and contribute. So Scripture reminds us that this is not This is not something that Alan Holmes has thought up. This is not something that Charles Kaufman has thought up. This is not something that even Pastor Lewis or the Deacon Board thought up years ago and put in place. No, what we are looking at and emphasizing tonight is the scriptural design that God has thought up and that God has put in place. And so tonight, why we do, what we do, how we do, because it's the biblical model in which we do. And so I want you to consider a couple of facts about us being the body of Christ tonight. Nothing earth-shattering tonight, but I hope it strikes the chord, and then the invitation is when we go to the back and look at all the opportunities. Some considerations about being many members but one body. Number one, it means we need to be fed together. Number one, it means we need to be fed together. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, talking about the early church after their day of birth. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You jump down to verse number 46, the Bible says, of Acts chapter 2, verse number 46. The Bible says, well, go ahead, Don, get it up for me. It should be one verse over. He's going to look it up, but we can turn in our Bibles. Acts chapter number 2. And verse number 46 tells, I always feel like I'm racing the sound room at this point. Like, who's going to win? Me or them. All right. It says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house, did either meet with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, we see even here early on, they came together in one accord in the temple. And so we do see that the church, the early church, placed a essential value on being fed together. And so I start by saying this tonight, church, as we consider that we are many members in one body, it is essential that we be fed together. Corporate worship. What we are doing right now when we come out from the world and we come together as the body of Christ and we gather to sing the Lord's praise and we gather to look into the word of the Lord. Corporate worship is essential. Worshiping together is essential. It's essential. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Being fed together is so important. And it is the body coming together to be strengthened by the bread of life. It is the body coming together to be cleansed by the washing of water by the word. It is the body coming together to be grown and matured into the image of Christ. That is what corporate worship is about. Ephesians 4 verse 11 and 12 remind us in regards to corporate worship. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. And if we don't come together to be fed on the bread of life, we will grow weak. And if we don't come together to be washed by the water of the word, we will stink. If we don't come together to be grown and matured into the image of Christ, we will grow and mature into something, but it will be grotesque and not the image of our Savior. You know, how silly is it to neglect the base needs of the body and wonder why the body doesn't seem to function as it ought? Well, I've eaten a lot of cotton candy, so I know I've gotten the calories I need. I just don't know why I don't feel good. You know, I haven't slept in 3 nights, and I don't understand why I don't feel good. How silly would it be to not have the right fuel, to not have the right rest, to not have the right focus, to not take care of the base needs of the body, and then wonder, I just can't figure out what's wrong. Church, it's just as silly spiritually as it is physically. To not come together corporately and worship not feast on the bread of life and wonder why we feel so weak, to not come together to be washed in the word and wonder why we stink, to not come together to be conformed into the image of light of Christ and not wonder why it's not working as it ought. As the word church literally means a called out assembly, we must come out and assemble to worship. That is what provides the right fuel for my heart and spirit. It is what provides the right focus for my heart and mind. And here's the deal. If we find that we are not in church, that needs to change. In other words, before we ever go back to ministry and before we ever go back to small group and Sunday school, we need to make sure that we are in church, corporately worshiping, being fed together. In church, if we're not being fed together, you need to pull out of a ministry so you can be fed together. You need to simplify so you can be fed together. This being fed together was a priority of the early church, and it must be a priority today. I said, give me 20 minutes, and I am 13 minutes in. Another thought about being one, many members but one body. Not only do we need to be fed together, but we need to fellowship together. You see, if we put Acts 2:46 back up there, we see this. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And I want to go back to verse 46, if you would, Don. So not only did they meet in the temple, but the Bible says they didn't just assemble at times of corporate worship, but they also worshiped from house to house. This is what we would call they fellowshiped together. You see, the word fellowship, biblically, it means carries the idea of a shared life. It's not the idea of sharing food, though that can certainly be a part of it, amen. But it literally means having a shared life. If all we do is share a pew, we're not really sharing life. I cannot really genuinely and deeply share and do life with you if all I do is share a pew with you once a week. Church, we need each other. We need to be connected to each other deeply and genuinely. Do you know why we're having a mom's Bible study? Because moms need each other. Being a mama ain't for the faint of heart. You got kids and daddy to deal with. And oftentimes, daddies just get worse when the kids come. And so we're having a mom's class, marriage and family class, RU class. Why? Because we need each other. That we need to empathize with one another. We need to encourage one another. Romans chapter 12, which is the passage that we read to start about how we are many members but one body. Verse number 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love and in honor, preferring one another. You jump to verse number 15. We see this, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that do weep. Verse 16, it says, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Church, we can't do that if all we do is share a hymnal. We have to find time and ways to share more than just a pew. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16 reminds us in a very similar sense, from whom the whole body, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, being fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto itself, edifying itself in love. The early church lived deep, genuine fellowship. The early church was able to be there for one another and supply one another's needs and help bear one another's burdens. Why? Why were they able to do that? Because they did life together. And it was more than a Sunday, sometimes Wednesday thing. They were intentionally involved in one another's lives. You know, I think a great verse for us as we get into this is to remind ourselves what Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse number 2, that we are indeed called to bear one another's burdens. And in doing so, we so fulfill the law of Christ. How do we do this? How did they do this back in the first century? Well, they were there with one another, sharing life with one another regularly. I'm going to tell you, some of us feel really disconnected from the body, but when we stop and think about it, it's because, you know, we share life with those who we work with, and we share life with those who we live around, and we share life with blood relatives, and we share lives with high school friends or whatever, and we share lives with those who have the same hobbies, be it golf or cars or whatever ladies like to do. I don't even know. Scrapbooking? I don't know. We share life with people that we share hobbies with, and we share life with all of these people, and we never stop to realize, wait a minute, I share life with, it seems like I share life with everybody except the saints of God. And church, if we want to genuinely be many members but one body, we have to fellowship together, fed together, fellowship together, finally, function together. Function together. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, we'll read them again. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. So not only do we see they worshiped together, they were fed together. Not only do we see that they fellowshiped together in breaking of bread daily from house to house, but verse number 47, it didn't stay in those two places. The Lord used the church to make an impact on its world for the glory of God. And so they were fed together, they functioned together, and they fellowshiped together. Here's the thing about a body. It needs to move in a unified way. You know, if I want to run, Lord willing, I'm going to get up tomorrow before the sun comes up and go for a run. And when I run, my legs have a job to do. They'll do what the legs do. And my arms have a job to do. And my heart has a job to do. And my lungs have a job to do. And really, my body has a job to do. My eyes have a job to do. Number one, stay open because I'm tired. Though they have different jobs, they all have one purpose. One purpose. Because the body needs to move in a unified way. Church, hear me. We have a purpose to achieve. Church, we have a purpose to achieve. This lost world needs to see the light and love of Jesus Christ. If they're not going to find it in His body, let me ask you, where are they going to find it? This world needs to see the light and love of Jesus Christ. Look at how dark our world is. If they want to see true light and they want to see true love, where else should they look except the body of Christ itself? And here's the reality. You, Christian, have been gifted to function in the body that God has placed you. You know, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And God has gifted you to function in the body. If you are saved, you are gifted, and you are purposed. You are necessary to the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you, if a body part decides not to work, it's a problem. If a body part decides not to work, it's a problem. When I was in high school and college, I had a kneecap that decided it would rather go that way than hinge this way. It was a problem. I mean, can I take the analogy a step farther? It's not just if a body part decides it doesn't want to work like it's supposed to, if the body part works but whines about it. I mean, we're still functioning, but ain't nobody happy. You ever been there physically? Church, hear me. If you are saved, you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. If you are saved and gifted, you are purposed into the body that He placed you. This means everything. Here's what it means. It means if God has brought you here, you are needed here. If God has brought you here, you are needed here. We cannot fully do what God wants us to do without you. If God has brought you here, you are needed here. How do you know that? Because God is the one who brings people to the church. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse number 18. We're jumping a little bit, Don. 1 Corinthians 12 in verse number 18 puts it this way. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So if God in this season has brought you to be a member in this church, he has gifted you and he has placed you as a part of this church, either as a member of this church or as a faithful attendee of this church. God has gifted you and brought you here. God has placed you here because you are needed here. And I beg you as a pastor to get off the fence and get engaged. To begin fulfilling the purpose that God has placed you here to fulfill. Now, here's the other caveat. If God has not brought you here, please go wherever God has called you. I don't want anybody to leave. But if God has not brought you here, go to where God has called you and get neck deep engaged there because they need you. We are called as a body, many members, but one body, to be fed together, to fellowship together, to function together for the glory of God. It's been 22 minutes, but I'm done. Church, tonight we take the next step. I don't know what exactly it looks like for you, but I'm excited to find out. Tonight we begin to build on almost, if you will, a new organized foundation. Take that next step to be better fed together, to better fellowship together, to better function together for the glory of God. Because this is what sets up the body for success. If we are not fed together, we will not succeed. If we do not fellowship together, we will not succeed. If we do not function together, we will not succeed. God's not done. Amen. God's not done. So neither are we.